Well, welcome again to another end of the week conference call. A little quieter this week in the grain markets. Today was the end of the week. Corn actually closed down 2 cents for the week from last Friday. So really, we didn't go anywhere. Basis continues to be firm in the Northwest. There is kind of a tale of who has ownership and who doesn't. There are some ethanol plants that have kind of tried to slow down the truck lines because they've got enough corn, and then others are pushing some pretty good basis levels to get grain to roll. From the CIF market standpoint, with the roll, I would call this thing up 2 to 3 cents for the week nearby on CIF corn. And on the deferreds, I'd call it up 2 cents as well. Barge freight was pretty much unchanged. One thing we do need to watch on barge freight here with this huge export program is the volume of moisture that we've had, and the river levels, especially at the Gulf. I did see one, some barge companies have actually decreased the size of tows by 4 to 8 barges just to in preparation of higher water at the Gulf. So then we probably ought to keep an eye out going forward. Corn export inspections, you know, starting off Monday, were very impressive, 1.6 million tons, you know, 400,000 more tons than a week before. You know, of that, there was 346,000 tons of corn coming out of the Gulf to China, and none off of the PNW. So it does appear maybe we are starting to pick up some of these numbers to China, and we've got a ways to go if we're going to meet the Chinese numbers that they have. Cordonier came out this week. His estimate on Brazil corn unchanged at 105, Argentina unchanged at 45.5. Did only have one flash sale this week. That was on Tuesday, 175,000 tons of corn to China. We have not seen any new sales to China since January 29th.
Brent, wasn't that to Japan? You said China.
Yes, to Japan. I'm sorry. I got China on the brain, Wayne. Sorry about that. Yes, it was to Japan. So thanks for the correction there. And we did see Argentina buying corn, Taiwan buying corn from Argentina for April, May. Now I've got flustered here. But yeah, the second season corn planting in South America continues to lag. IMEA out today saying that corn is 73% planted versus 55% a week ago. You know, that's compared to 98% a year ago and 91% on average. So, and we're now in that window of definitely seeing some yield drag going forward past these dates. So historically, so really need to pick up the pace. Ethanol production for the week was 849,000 barrels. That's up 29% from the previous week when we had the head guys selling back nat gas and slowing down grind. But we're still down 21% from a year ago. Also, ADM in their investor call said that Cedar Rapids and Columbus plants will both be coming up in the first half of this year. Sources tell us that probably in April that we'll see those two plants coming on. So there's some more production headed our way for ethanol. Export sales, really the thing, they were pretty ugly. 115,000 for old crop and 38,000 for new crop. The only thing of note there was the unknown of 1.765. with 1.046 switched over to China. That now takes China up to 11.67 million tons outstanding, with 7.06 shipped for 18.73 total. So we do have a report coming out Tuesday. Estimates for ending stocks is 1.47 billion bushel compared to February's number of 1.502. And we'll get some Argentina and Brazil numbers. The average guess for Argentina is 47 versus 47.5 last month. and Brazil at 108.4 versus last month's 109. The only other thing of note was Argentina. Their estimates on the crop this year is at 25% good to excellent, down from 30% last week. So, Rocky, how about the beans where there was more excitement?
A little bit more excitement. Beans this week. Let's see here. What is the story? New crop beans, challenging contract highs, bean oil contract highs, and I think loadings in Brazil were outstanding. So it's kind of the story for the week. May beans up 25 and three quarter cents. March beans up 29 and a quarter. Beans continue to find support on these moving averages, the 10 and the 20-day moving averages. 10 days at 1484 and a half, you know, considering that we close at 1430, right? 20 days at 1392 and a quarter. And the interesting thing is the 50-day is creeping up toward the 10 and 20-day. So, it almost looks like these are going to meet by the end of the month, and that should prove to be some interesting trading if we get something interesting at the end of the month. Meal down 320 on the week, and oil, as I mentioned, new contract highs, 186 higher, ticks higher. I said NOV 21 is testing the contract highs from just a week or so ago. Looks like November beans are going to continue on their route higher. Crush margins with higher beans, lower meal, and higher oil, as you would expect, crush margins kind of suffered on the week. They're still positive out here, but March was 80, 81 cents, something like that, down a little bit. But May is 62, down 7.5 from last week. July is 62, down a penny from last week. So crush margins are still positive, although they're getting beat up a little bit. Basis, there's really no bids on the PNW for nearby, and new crops pretty solidly 150 over. It seems like that's been the program for a couple weeks here. SIF market down. I suppose it's a function of cheaper barge freight. We're about 3 cents below delivery, but I would say that we are probably down 2 to 4 cents nearby. You know, and actually you could say right across the board. So the SIF's a little weaker. Processors are a different story. The vast majority of the changes were higher. In the West, we had 3 lower and 27 higher changes. In the East, 4 lower and 16 higher. So processor, and I'm hearing stories of 20 cent pushes out here, and that these guys still have margins based upon that. Bean exports, 334,000 tons. I think the interesting story is no China. Europe 206, Mexico 140. Total old crop sales, 2.1 million metric tons, or 2 billion 210, 98% of the USDA's 2250. So, which begs the question, the WASDE next week, we should see them increase exports, I would guess. We're almost to the point where they have to. We need to make 35,000 tons of sales a week for the remainder of the marketing year to meet the USDA's current estimates. Shipments, 1.2 million bushels, still pretty strong, actually. 1.2 million tons, sorry. China, 321, Europe, 206, Egypt, 116, Taiwan, 106. So cumulative, we have shipped 52.7 million metric tons, of which, by the way, China's 34.5 million tons, or 65% of our sales. The highest amount the U.S. has ever shipped to China was 16-17, where we shipped 36.1 million metric tons. So we have a real chance this year of challenging that record. Shipments, we need to average 320,000 a week, met tons a week to meet the USDA estimate. New crop sales, 199,400. Cumulative new crop sales, 4.9 million tons. Last year at this time was 344,000. And 14-15, it was 5.2 million metric tons. So we just kind of lag 14-15 consistently here, but we're staying close to that. Meal sales, 187,400. We need 150,000 tons a week in sales. We don't need that much, but that's, you know, probably good because U.S. meal really is uncompetitive. Argentina, the story in the world market is Argentine basically capturing the oil seed world trade, and with meal also doing some meal business here. So shipments 432,800 for meal this year, a marketing year high. We need to average 235,000 tons a week. Let's see. So let's go around the world here a little bit. Argentina, and I really think this is why we rallied today. Argentina is basically the next 7 days dry weather, warm to hot temperatures. I mean, there's some storms around Sunday through Thursday, but for most of the country, the heat is finally showing up. Argentina, Buenos Aires Grain Exchange came out and, you know, left their crop at 46 million tons. However, they suggested there's a pretty good chance it was going to drop here. Dry weather. Let's see, Brazil. Crop size is this week. We're 133 to 135 and change. I mean, seems like the Brazil crop estimates go up a little bit every week. Your corn estimates drop a little bit every week, I suppose, because they're slow to get harvested. IMEA came out, said Mato Grosso was 67% harvested. Harvest must be going on because Brazil shipped 4.875 million metric tons of beans last week. Vessel lineups are pretty stout, but they're not that outrageous down there. Paranaguay lineups, 20 to 23 days. Last year, 15. Santos, 11 to 12 days. Last year, 16. So paper in Brazil continues to be defensive. But I'd call it, I guess March is relatively unchanged week on week. April's down about a nickel. May is down just a tiny bit, but not much there. But then Santos is probably a 20 or 25% cent premium to the Paranaguá market value. So I don't know. Next week, I suppose Argentine weather. I'm going to discount Brazil wetness because it seems like harvest is coming. So Argentine weather in the WASDE, I think, next week. And then bean oil, I guess, keep your eyes on what bean oil is doing. Those are the factors to drive the market. So, Wayne, that's all I got on beans. You're up on wheat.
Thank you, Rocky. Well, the Chicago futures market were up 2 cents, Kansas City 5, and Minneapolis 4 cents. So kind of like corn, we didn't really do much, but we flailed around quite a bit. The Russian FOB, 12 and a half pro, still priced at 290. That includes the EU 50 euro 50 export tax now, and that goes all the way through into June. Interestingly, German wheat went down to 282, and 11% moisture 12 and a half pro hard red wheat actually went down to 277 FOB. Here in the late week, I think that there is some reason. I mean, there is a lot of reason for people to try to get some export sales of hard red wheat on the books because we've just been languishing here. And with the Russians setting a ceiling for us, everybody else can run around below them and pick up some business. Australia still is exporting wheat. I wrote in my comments last week that there appears to have been more wheat sold to Russia than the 600,000 tons that we heard about in December, possibly as much as another 600 for shipment between March and the and May. And the they also were talking about possibly selling some sorghum to China too. The weather in Australia, it's time to take a look at that. Planting won't start for a while here, but the November, February rainfall amounts are quite good in the east. New South Wales, I'd say about 85 to 90% of that area has had normal to above normal rain. There is a lengthy area along the Victoria border, which is just south of the southern border of New South Wales, that has had less than 50% of normal during that period. And there's also an area in central South Australia, further to the west, that is in that same boat with less than 50% of normal rain. But overall, I'd say the particularly with New South Wales getting good rains in the far western areas, just like they did last year at this time before wheat planting got underway or wheat growth got underway. They are in pretty good shape, and New South Wales is the most important state for setting the tone. If you're going to have a really high national yield, New South Wales has to be one of those two. Rainfall in the west, Western Australia, good everywhere. The Russian situation has morphed into one in which people are waiting to see if there's one more cold blast. They're expecting some really cold weather middle to late next week. So there's still a threat of some damage from cold weather. So far, no one has talked about a lot of damage from the big blast that they had last week. Rostat people, sorry, I was thinking of Euro. Rostat statistical people lowered the amount of wheat that they think needs to be replanted from just over 2 million to somewhere between 1 and 1.5 million million hectares. And a lot of that is because some improvement in down in the south in Stavropol. The betting is that for the area that's going to be have to be replanted to something, it'll be in mostly in the southern part of the Black Soils region all over towards Volgograd, and that the best things that people can plant will be sunflowers or spring barley. Those are the most profitable and the ones that make sense in the mix of things that they grow in there. In my weekly report, I did a calculation of the three main suppliers of wheat in the Black Sea, Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan, added up the sizes of the crops, given some data that came out from analysts over there on planted area and potential yields. And the total crop, if the Russian crop is 78 million tons, which is the wild, you know what, guess, for the crop right now, since we don't really know what it's going to be like when it comes out of dormancy. The total crop would be down about 5 million tons, but of that, Ukraine would be up 2.3 and Kazakhstan would be up 0.8. So the loss of 5.1 is the reduction of the crop and crop size in Russia if that happens. And interestingly enough, Kazakhstan sells or exports most of its wheat to the other stands that were part of the Soviet Union. And so they're not a big factor in exports to anywhere in the West. And if you just look at Russia and Ukraine to combined, if the Russian crop is 78 and the Ukrainian crop is 27.5, there will only be a couple million tons more wheat to be exported next year in the whole marketing year than the ones that they think they're going to export in the one that we're just halfway through. And when that happens, also the ending stocks in that part of the world will fall from about 14 to about 10. So, and that the lowest that they've been in the last 5 years has been about 9.5. So if they do all of this improving of the crop, still export slightly more than a year ago, they will draw down stocks again. And that's really all I've got today, guys. So I hope everybody has it. I forgot to mention that Kansas and Texas ratings fell again. The rain that was supposed to fall in southeast Kansas and southwest Oklahoma was a bust. The best rain in Kansas was in Goodland, where they had 8,700s. There was one place in eastern Colorado that had about 4/10, 4,700s, and Hutchinson got 0.4 inches. If you were anywhere else in that area, you had none to about 1,500s. So I think that the condition ratings, given the forecast, are probably going to still slip a little bit. On April 1 is when we will start to get all of the states reporting, but we're still going to get the weekly ones from Kansas and Texas until then. That's all I have today, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Wayne. You too. Thanks, Rocky.